I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
I don't take anything for granted because at the end of the day, I know where I come from. I know what I stand for.
The NBA playoffs are on, and LeBron James is ready as he leads the Western Conference top seed Los Angeles Lakers.
It's my 17th season. I don't go into any season saying, okay, playoffs, championship. I'm all about the process, and whatever is at the end of that process, that I'm grateful for. And I go in with the mindset that is always preparing myself mentally, physically, and spiritually to be able to encounter anything that happens.
James said this postseason, his first in 2 years after failing to qualify last year with the Lakers, and the most unusual in league history, will be his most challenging yet, as the NBA plays in its so-called bubble in Orlando, Florida.
I don't know what's different for me in this environment. As far as me locking in on an opponent and individuals, that hasn't changed. What's different is this is the environment. I'm not home. I'm not with my family. Not in my own bed. I'm not in our practice facility. I'm not preparing to be at Staples tomorrow with our fans. I'm not with a lot of things. That's essential to my everyday regimen. So that's what's different. As far as mentally, that's always going to be sharp.
So are his skills, of course. He averaged 25.3 points and led the NBA with 10.2 assists per game. Even though the Portland Trailblazers only just made it to the playoffs with a win in their final match, James says they're very tough with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
They've seen it all. That playoff experience. They have chemistry between the two of them because they're that dangerous. And then they have a Hall of Famer and Carmelo Anthony who can erupt at any point of a game. So you have to always key in on him and have that respect factor because you know what he's capable of doing.
Beyond basketball, LeBron James was one of the signers Monday of an open letter written by More Than a Vote, a coalition of black athletes and artists whose mission is to educate, energize, and protect black voters.
Now we're serious, so serious, about what's going on in America, about our communities, about voter suppression, about just the lack of people who care for them. We put a team together to be able to give our community the resources to let them understand what their rights are.
The More Than a Vote Coalition partnered with the Los Angeles Dodgers to use Dodger Stadium as a vote center for the presidential election in November and is aiming to get more arenas and sports facilities in use.
The mood of the team is like, you know, are we going to play or not? Really, that's in the country, really. Well, all the teams who hasn't canceled their seasons, are we going to play or not?
Players on the University of Alabama football team are anxious to learn if they'll be able to take the field soon, amid wider concerns over the new coronavirus. Senior running back Najee Harris feels safe playing and thinks his school is taking precautions to keep the team safe.
We've done a good job in the facility of like keeping everything as safe as possible, as clean as possible. You know, we installed these new air humidifiers to like kill all the germs in the air. We got a lot of hand sanitizers everywhere around. We get tested more than I feel like we practice, and that's a good thing. But we got all these masks every time. We get our temperatures tested. All right, every time you walk in the building.
In a video conference call, junior quarterback Mac Jones agreed.
We just wanted the people to hear our voice because at the end of the day, the players are the ones playing. And, you know, we feel safe here. We feel comfortable.
Jones says the Crimson Tide has many reasons to return to the field.
We had a lot of guys that could have left last year and they came back. So we want to play for those guys. We want to play for the younger teammates. We want to play for the whole organization, the state of Alabama. So for me, just getting that out there, we want to play and that we feel safe.
College football's governing body, the NCAA, called off fall championship events, a move that does not affect major college football. The spring calendar already features more sports than the fall, so cramming still more in, including football, would create logistical challenges. Top seed Simona Halep won her second successive Women's Tennis Association tournament with a straight sets victory over world number 23 Elise Mertens of Belgium to win the Prague Open final. She first had adjustments to make.
At the beginning, I felt like I'm hitting too strong, too flat, and she's like quicker than me. She stayed closer to the baseline and had a better touching about the ball. And then I just tried to change the rhythm. I played a little bit higher. I played a little bit further from her body and was much better.
In the second set,
I was very tired and I couldn't really move very well. But then I think again, today mental was really strong. And that's why I was able to win in two sets.
The Romanian won in Dubai, her last event before lockdown, and made a rapid return to the winner's circle with a 6-2, 7-5 win over the third-seeded Mertens in Prague. Halep is happy to make a winning return.
It was really tough to get back to the official matches after such a long break. And emotions, of course, tough rules. Staying in the room for 10 days is not easy. But I have to take the positive also. I've been able to win the tournament, which means a lot, even if it's a smaller one. It's been a great week here, and I'm happy to be back on tour with a victory.
Halep was in top form on the Prague clay, winning in 1 hour 33 minutes to claim her 21st event on the WTA Tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simona Halep, Romania. Prague Open 2020 singles champion.
English golfer Sam Horsfield grabbed his second win in 3 weeks at the Celtic Classic in Wales.
Happy. You know, it was a little bit different than the last time. You know, obviously last time I had a one-shot lead and today I was trailing by one. So I had to go out there today and grind it out. And I thought that if I didn't make a bogey, you know, it would be kind of hard for people to catch me. And I wanted to get to a certain number to where the guys that were at like 12 were going to have a hard time catching me. They were going to have to play a hell of a round of golf. So, you know, I didn't quite reach that number, but yeah, I'll take it.
Horsfield finished at 18 under par, 2 shots better than Thomas Detry of Belgium. Horsfield credits his putting getting hot at the right time.
You know, yesterday my putter, I didn't make anything. I felt like I had a lot of good putts, but nothing went in. And then, you know, today I made about a 25 footer on 3, and you know, I sort of got the momentum rolling with the flat stick, and that putt on 17 was huge. You know, I went to be able to walk up the last with a 2-shot lead. You know, I thought Thomas would either birdie or eagle it, so you know, I wanted a little bit of a cushion to where I could, you know, lay up and make par.
He had simple goals heading into the season.
When I sat down at the beginning of the year, I didn't really set like a accomplishment goal. I just wanted to improve certain aspects of my game myself. You know, like I wanted to improve my short game, you know, and I wanted to improve my GIR percentage. And, you know, I felt like if I did that, the wins and the good results would come.
Now with 2 quick wins and moving up the world rankings, Horsfield qualifies for the U.S. Open and says he's definitely going. Professional golfers walk every course they play in competition. Few players actually walk to the course, but that's what Thomas Bjørn of Denmark did.
We are doing this for 2 great charities, UNICEF, supporting kids all over the world, and the Golf Foundation. So please donate. 210 kilometers ahead. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a big ask, but I'll let you know along the way how I'm getting on.
Bjorn's 220 kilometers or 135 miles between Wentworth and Wales took 4 days. The 49-year-old Bjorn was feeling it after the first 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours of walking now. This is tough business, this walking business. I'm absolutely feeling it in my feet and funnily enough, I feel it in my middle back.
It was a long journey, but for charity, he persevered.
It always seems great at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now it's a bit more of a tough test, but there you go. We're moving along. We're moving along. We'll get there.
Bjorn has played in 552 European Tour golf events, recording 110 top 10 finishes, of which 15 were tournament victories in 11 different countries. sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
It feels absolutely incredible. I feel brand new today.
He may feel brand new, but what isn't new is Lewis Hamilton winning a Formula One race. The British Mercedes driver took the checkered flag at the Spanish Formula One Grand Prix.
So hot out there and so challenging, but the tires were the biggest challenge today. But I was really able to remain in a zone that I don't remember the last time I was in that one. So it was, it's hard to explain it, but it felt fantastic out there, and what an incredible result.
Hamilton led from start to finish to claim his 88th career Grand Prix win. Red Bull's Max Verstappen once again trailed Hamilton to place second.
Yeah, it was decent. I think we had a good start into turn one. From there, I initially, of course, tried to keep up with Lewis, but he was just a bit too quick. From there onwards, we basically just followed our strategy, and I could keep Valtteri behind, which is positive, I think. I mean, second is good, maybe more than good, because we split the two Mercedes cars. So, overall, a good weekend again.
Verstappen split the Mercedes Silver Arrows duo as Valtteri Bottas finished third after a rough start.
The start definitely cost me a lot today. To be honest, I don't know yet what happened. Just to get away from the line was not great. And then with a long run into turn one when you're at the front, then it feels even worse because you have no tow, you know, so the cars behind, they benefit.
Hamilton has now secured more podium finishes than any other driver in the sport's history, spraying champagne for the 156th time, one more than German great Michael Schumacher did. Coronavirus has made playing cricket tough enough at home. But Australia's one-day international and T20 squad of 21 players are preparing to leave for England on Sunday. Aaron Finch leads the team that has dealt with difficult conditions and protocols that the players have followed so far while training in their respective states.
All the protocols that are going on from the government, the stuff that Cricket Australia has put in place for us to make sure that we're as low a risk as possible of contracting anything before we get on the plane. It's been a difficult time, no doubt, but not nearly as difficult as some people are doing it. To be able to still get into the Junction Oval and train in a great facility has still been really positive.
Finch and his teammates are confident in the other team, the one charged with keeping them virus-free.
I think the people that we have in place who are doing all that due diligence in making sure that for example, the bio bubble in the UK and then the IPL. I know Cricket Australia working closely with the franchises and the BCCI for that tournament to make sure that they're as tight as possible and as risk-free as they can be in this current environment. So I think that we're putting a lot of trust in them people to be doing their job really well. And from what we've seen so far, it's been above and beyond what I expected it to be, that everyone's pulled together and done a fantastic job.
While he pays attention to the finer points of the game, Australia's captain says paying attention to protocol details will help promote cricket.
We're in a position to help continue the global game, and there should be no more motivation than that to do everything right. And we've been really strong with the guys in the last couple of weeks about making sure that we do literally everything that we can that is in line with the protocols to keep the global game going, because at the end of the day, if that falls over, then we're all out of jobs and the game is not in a healthy state, which we can't afford to have.
Aaron Finch also praised the career of former India captain MS Dhoni, who last week decided to quit international cricket.
He's had an extraordinary career, I think winning the T20 World Cup, the 50 over and the Champions Trophy while leading India is such a huge responsibility, and he's been the epitome of professionalism and calmness, and I suppose when you look at his wicket-keeping ability and then his batting, it's just extraordinary. He's one of the all-time great one-day and T20 cricketers, so the game will miss him, no doubt, and he's been amazing for Indian cricket, but for world cricket, so I wish him all the best in retirement.
Training elite swimmers without a pool is nearly impossible, especially when open waters are available for just 3 months out of the year. Khaled Al-Naksabi is the head of Libya's swimming sub-federation in Benghazi. An athlete needs at least 2 months to regain fitness, and after 2 months from the start of the summer, we can barely enter him into competitions. If the state fixes closed swimming pools and the athlete was able to train throughout the year, the matter would have been different, believe me. We have talents and potential champions. Like other Libyan athletes, swimmers in Benghazi are critical of local authorities' lack of maintenance at the sports city complex, and in particular, the state of the main swimming pool, which has led to reluctance from some to continue competing in the sport. These are the conditions for swimming in all of Libya. I'm not talking about Benghazi only. We are communicating with the General Federation and its subsidiary federations in Tripoli, Sirte, Misrata, Tobruk, and Derna, all of them suffer the same thing. Swimmer Ali Al-Orfi says the problem has been ongoing for years. In Benghazi, swimming pools are not available. We exercise only in the summer season, 3 months in the sea. Then we stop after that until winter because there are no swimming pools. Unfortunately, we've suffered from this problem since 2014. He says some swimmers continue over the winter. It depends on the ability of the swimmer. There are swimmers who are able to carry on, and some of them have to study, and the rest of them train physical exercises. Most of them continue with physical exercise and bodybuilding. Even though several Libyan swimmers have world-class talent, Ali Al-Orfi says swimmers who train in pools have a clear advantage. In local participation in pool competitions, we notice that our swimmers are not at the same level as those who exercise in pools. The timing of the other pool swimmers is better than our numbers, and this is a big problem in swimming. A big problem not to have an international swimming pool, or even half the international at 25 meters. Ali Al-Orfi and other aspiring competitors have been left with no choice but to train in the sea, as sport in general suffers from similar problems throughout Libya.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.